Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Daryl's updates, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Now, I think the reactions, for a second this morning, I thought that the reactions are going to be almost week two Jetsian from last year. There have been more positive people, thank goodness, than originally perpetrated here. I think it's been about 70-30, but there were some people, for whatever reason, they are certainly not satisfied with this victory. Were you satisfied?
Yeah. there's a lot to feel good about. Was it a perfect game? No, but listen, yesterday's game, Ken, is a game that we're used to watching the Browns lose. And they have taken yet another important step as they work their way back from what everyone suffered through a couple years ago, and that is to get above 500 for the first time since 2014. That's a big deal. 84 games between the last time they were above 500 and yesterday. So that was a pretty big win for the franchise. And, you know, I'll give Kevin Stefanski credit and some of the players credit. They really downplayed it. They obviously have bigger goals in mind. They're not wasting their energy worrying about how terrible it's been here and how much the fans have suffered. They're focused on making the fans happy by winning games every week. So was it a perfect game? No. But there's a lot for fans and the Browns themselves to feel really, really good about.
All right, Daryl, I get all that, and I noticed that too. They aren't celebrating over the top like I think they did at times last year. Now, maybe that happens if they beat a team that you think is going to the playoffs. Last year, they beat the Bills, were in the playoffs. They beat the Ravens, a team that obviously made the playoffs. That was one of only two losses for the Ravens. So I wonder if that changes, and should it change, if they beat the Cowboys, who they are an underdog, a healthy underdog this week and on the road.
I don't think it's going to change because I just don't think that Kevin Stefanski is going to allow it to change. And what I mean by that is the team has kind of taken on, I don't want to say his personality because we don't really know Kevin all that well yet. But it seems like from afar that the team has taken on his business-like personality. You know, I love the fact that the defense kept running to the end zone to celebrate the turnovers. They created five turnovers in the game. You know, they played complimentary football. The offense turned those five turnovers into 24 points. You know, the special teams didn't give up massive field position on a regular basis yesterday. Cody Parkey was able to kick the ball through the end zone every time he kicked off, and he ended up kicking off a lot of times yesterday, which is a good thing. Nick Chubb continues to, you know, make history. First time since Leroy Kelly in 1967, over 100 yards and two touchdowns in back-to-back games for a Browns running back. So, I'm sure as we go throughout the week, we'll nitpick some things and some areas that they need to improve on. Because as I said, it wasn't a perfect win, but it was really nice to see the way they responded in that fourth quarter after giving up a 10-point lead, and going from up 17-7 to down 20-17 in a blink of an eye, and then to see them roll 17 unanswered points to finish off Washington. I think there's a lot for fans and the organization to feel good about.
True or false, if our coach would have done what Ron Rivera did at the end of the game, we would have been talking about it the whole show and probably for the next week.
True.
What was that? Why? I don't know what he was thinking.
I don't know either. I don't know. I was planning on looking at the transcript from his post-game presser this morning. I don't know what he was thinking, Ken. But I guess when you're down 14 points or whatever it was at the time, anything goes.
Because I'm looking at it, I go, gosh, they're keeping all their timeouts. And when the Browns kicked off, I went, well, you know, they got three timeouts. And knowing how the Browns are going, you know, they're up by 14. It's like, I wonder if we'll just give them up a quick stop.
4 o'clock.
Because I just thought that we might go soft on the coverage, and then they might get down there and put themselves in a position to score. And they ran one play, and that was it. That was like, all right, we're done.
It was nice that the Riverboat Ron ran the white flag up the mast as quickly as he did.
It was very odd to me.
He did it twice.
Yeah.
He did it twice. That's what's amazing to me.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like they weren't getting huge gash plays there in that first half, and yet they sat on it with 40 seconds. I don't think I've seen that in the NFL. I really haven't. Although someone said Ron Rivera did it last week.
He did.
Ken said it.
Kevin Kugler had said it even in the broadcast as well. Daryl, should we change our ideas about going forward on fourth down? Kevin Stefanski is doing it. A lot of teams around the league are doing it here. You know, for 34 years, I said to Lima earlier today, I've been in the notion that, hey, it's fourth down, it's fourth and three, fourth and four. You bring out the punting unit, that's what you do. And it seems that in today's NFL, a lot of analytics driven, they're going, no siree, you got to leave that on the table.
Yeah, you know, the Browns got to be a little better on fourth down on both sides of the ball. You know, opponents, I think, are 6 for 6 or something like that. And I think the Browns only converted twice on fourth down. But, you're right. I mean, when I watch other games, you're seeing these teams go for it on fourth down. And I'll be honest with you, I think that they are picking the smart situations to go for it on fourth down, Ken. I like it. Absolutely. Time and place for it. About that, you got to be smart when and where you go for it. But yeah, I don't think that, if you get a fourth and one and you're running their throat, why wouldn't you run it on fourth down and try and get that extra yard or two? So I like it. I think it's a great trend. And it adds another layer of strategy to the game, similar to what they were aiming to do when they moved that extra point back. You know, the league privately wanted kickers to miss those extra points to add another layer of intrigue and strategy for coaches to work through as far as do they kick the extra point or do they. I think you're seeing the same thing with these fourth down decisions, but I honestly like it. I think it's great for the game.
Dale Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us. I thought it was important. To me, the important drive of the game when Washington had that lead, the Browns then were up four, and the drive at the end of the third quarter, about 2 minutes left, it was Kareem Hunt. It was short pass. Then it was Chubb, Hunt up the middle, Hunt. And then Harrison Bryant, 3-yard touchdown pass. The reason I went through all that, Daryl, was that to me looks like what the Browns' identity should be. And I know people are going to say, wait a second, you're just going to tell Baker Mayfield to be a game manager all year? Well, right now, that's what he needs to be. He still is not composed or confident in that pocket. I still think he has some big problems when he's hemmed in. He needs to be able to get to the outside. But for now, I think that drive illustrates exactly the type of football that this team needs to play to win games.
You're not going to get an argument from me. I mean, the 15-yard catch there by Odell on that drive, I think it was like a 3rd-and-11 or 3rd-and-12, and Odell made that real nice catch for, 14, 15 yards to move the change on third down and keep the drive going. The other thing that I liked was that the touchdown was apparently not not designed for Harrison Bryant. Kevin Stefanski said after the game, yeah, I got to design and call a better play in that situation because that did not go how I thought it was going to go in my mind. But, you know, give Baker credit. He turned what started to be nothing into 7 points, right? I was referring a little bit to Baker Mayfield when I said it wasn't a perfect game. And Baker even said after the game, I have to play better. You know, there were a couple of sacks, the intentional grounding, not seeing the right things on a couple of occasions. And that's okay. You know, like it's okay. You're in your third system in 3 years here, guy. You had to learn some new footwork and mechanics and things like that. It's okay if Baker doesn't play, a perfect game and the Browns win. I think we'd all agree we'd rather the Browns win while Baker is learning on the job than Baker learning on the job and it's costing them games. So I have no problem with Baker Mayfield's, performance yesterday. We live in this, you talk about the modern era of the NFL. You know, we're living in this era where, your quarterbacks are expected to throw for 300 yards and 3, 4, 5 touchdowns every week. And if you don't do that, you're not any good. I think with the run game that the Browns have and as good as it is, I really think that is the perfect tool to help Baker Mayfield navigate this system and this season and really finally get his bearings for the first time as a professional with this organization so he can grow within this system. Because I got to tell you, if Kevin Stefanski isn't it, right? I mean, if this thing falls apart over the next year, 2 or 3, and Stefanski isn't it, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm going to want to get out of here because I don't know how many more coaching changes, he can tolerate. So I'm okay with him working through some of the things he's working through while the run game is carrying the load and they're able to win these games.
Daryl, before the game, Lyman made an argument, said Denzel Ward shouldn't have played, and then he was actually out in the third quarter. And we're reevaluating today.
Daryl would have heard that when I asked him the question yesterday, but he decided to do one of the loudest interviews in NFL history for the game.
I can't help where I'm at. Sorry.
Did they padlock the doors like Godfather 3? What did they do?
Well, you shouldn't be moving. When you're in the middle of a global pandemic, there, Lyman, you're not supposed to be walking around everywhere.
There's a whole stadium there. Daryl, it's a pandemic.
They don't let you just walk anywhere to and fro?
No.
All the live long day.
But anyway, Denzel, back to the topic at hand.
Oh, man. Denzel, I would not have played him yesterday. I watched the workout before the game. They put him through his paces, and he did not favor anything. So I certainly understand why they let him play. But I was shocked that he played, to be honest with you, because when you suffer a groin injury on a Thursday afternoon and you don't do anything on Friday, that typically means you're done on Sunday. He tried to give it a go. I give him credit. He tried to tough it out, but, couldn't finish the game. And, hopefully he's not out, too long. One other injury note, JoJo Natson had to get further examination on his knee last night. So, hopefully Kevin Stefanski has some positive news for us today, but you don't feel so great when the coach says he's got to have further exams in the evening.
Uh-oh, that makes me think JoJo going to be a no-go. Daryl Ryder, join us on the hotline. All right, so 2-1, is this a playoff team? Is this 7 in heaven?
I don't know if they're a playoff team yet. I think it's too early, but you know what? They beat the two teams that they were supposed to beat. And that, again, is a monumental step in the right direction. I'm not taking anything away from them. I think defensively, they're not a playoff team. Offensively, yeah, I could see them being carried into the playoffs. But I think it's a little too early buy your 6,000 playoff tickets for a January game at First Energy Stadium.
Well, is it true that there could be more people in the next games? There could be more than 6,000?
It is, depending on what the governor and the local health department ends up ruling. The Bengals have another home game, too, with their 6,000 fans. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there's a chance when the Colts come to town that they will be allowed to have more than 6,000. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I look out at the stadium, it looks like there's more than 6,000 people in the building. It really does.
Daryl, are you being a Karen right now to First Energy Stadium?
No.
Don't
no.
be a snitch.
Absolutely not.
They already, by the way, Daryl, they already got cited. The Browns got cited for that game.
They did?
Yes.
For what?
For alcohol.
Past 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah. First Energy Stadium got cited for serving alcohol past 10 o'clock.
Judas Priest.
For a Thursday night game.
Who reported? Daryl, were you reporting?
Do they not know it's a Browns game and drinking is required?
Think of the irony. Gosh. By the way, think of the syntax irony there. It would make my head explode.
We're funding the new dome that the Browns are going to ask for in a couple of years, right?
Whoa!
Here we go.
Daryl, we got to go. We thank you for the time, buddy.
You got it, guys. Enjoy Victory Monday.
And thank you very much. The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Coming up next, I'm going to mention a name with Baker Mayfield, and you ain't going to like it, but I do. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.